Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, welcome to this week's episode of the Mum and Mama podcast, brought to you as always by the lovely Golding Accountancy. We are golding.com. How are you? I am good. I'm just trying to turn my sound off on my computer and I can't. Oh, that's it. And my phone. Because no doubt someone will try and contact me as soon as I start recording. How are you? I am good. I did a really good podcast yesterday, which I think is actually going to be three podcasts. This will come out in a few weeks, but the lovely Henry Haight, who you might know him because he was the one who tattooed Amy Winehouse's famous lady tattoo on her arm. I met him, I think it's got to be about 14 years ago now. And started getting tattooed with him, but he's lovely. I love Henry, and I've not seen him for ages. And he listens to the podcast, and he got in touch with me saying that I should do one about how mums can influence their kids' creativity. And I was like, well, I'd wanted to get him on anyway, because he's lived a life. And I was like, why don't you talk about that? So I did he came around yesterday. We talked for 2 hours before we started recording, and we recorded for 3 hours. But I loved it. He's so interesting, and yeah, so I'm excited about that, so you'll hear that soon. But this week, I have the lovely Christina Morris. Christina is another one of my wonderful friend Nicole's suggestions, because she got a haircut by her, and she's written a book on anxiety in pregnancy. Now, I didn't know that this was a thing, but apparently 1 in 5 women get it, and it's Maternal Mental Health Week this week, so that's worked out nicely. But she basically got anxiety during her pregnancy, and she wrote a book about it afterwards, called Strong Mothers, which you can find on all good book shops, Amazon basically, but everywhere else as well, because don't buy from Amazon. But or do, I mean, it's your life. I buy everything from Amazon and hate myself for it. Anyway, I'm babbling. Here is Christina.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Yeah. Hi.
Yeah.
Christine
hi.
Morris.
I know. Hi.
I forget everything, so I'm really bad. But what? Where are you from? You're from Liverpool.
Yeah.
How long have you been down here?
So I've been down here like 11 years.
Okay.
Now. Yeah.
So. What brought you down?
So work mainly because. Yeah, just all the jobs are in London,
but
I love it now, so yeah, I can see me being here for quite a while. So,
especially now you just had a little baby.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah.
It was one yesterday.
Indeed, yeah.
Oh, are you... So he's only one, but do you want to have more?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, not straight away, because I'm really enjoying him, and he was a surprise, so...
Okay.
Yeah, so, like, I mean... I'm like happily married, but we still wanted to like go on a few more trips and things like that, and then life happens. So it's a nice surprise, but so
I understand that.
So I think a bit longer.
But then I suppose you can. Well, it's all been fucked anyway because of COVID, hasn't it? With regards to going away.
Yeah.
But you can still, while they're small, it's not too bad. But it's once they start getting around, really, then it all goes tits up.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, we did take him to Portugal recently and he loved that. So, he was dead. It's like he could tell he was somewhere else because he was just, you know, really intrigued and, like, looking around all the time. So, maybe we'd go away again. But, when he's just about to start walking, so, maybe not for much longer.
Yeah. I took my eldest Lola when she was 18 months. I took her to America because my best friend lives there.
Oh, wow.
And we went on our own because her dad couldn't come with us.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking, this is just going to be the worst. How long's the flight? 10 hours? She's in San Francisco, so... Yeah. But I went premium economy because I was like, at least we'll have a bit more room because then she didn't have a seat because she was under two.
Right.
But she was really all right, actually.
That's good.
Took loads of books.
Yeah.
And she just played with the seatbelt for most of the flight, I think. But I was just imagining, like, the worst case, I'll just be walking up and down for 10 hours. But she was actually all right.
Good.
So it's not always necessarily the worst.
Yeah. I think also, like, they feed off your energy, don't they? So if you're going to be panicky and like, they're going to be a nightmare, they probably will be.
Yeah. I remember, I think it was on that flight, there was a kid sitting behind us who literally was just crying for the whole flight, but his mum just didn't care.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, you can't really do that much if they are crying.
Yeah.
But she was literally just sitting there watching a film, just completely ignoring him. And I was a bit like, I'd just be so embarrassed.
Yeah.
Because obviously it was distressing to other people.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was older. He wasn't like a baby.
Right.
I have to remember now because this was quite a long time ago. But I do just remember thinking, at least just
see to him.
Give him some sweets or something. I mean, I know it's not ideal, but you just want to shut him up, don't you? When
Weird.
But everyone has different things.
Approaches, each to their own,
And it's funny, when you have babies, because I was like, they're not going to have any chocolate, they're not going to watch TV, they're not, you know, but then it does.
Yeah, I know.
It's anything for a quiet life.
Exactly, I do find that, like, I try not to, like, you know, let them have too much screen time and everything, because, you know, like, more and more kids are wearing glasses now, like with each generation. So a friend is, a friend's an optician, and she's seeing more and more children because they've all got iPads and things. So because I know that information, I only try and, like, you know, if it's like really desperate times. But I did say to myself, oh, I'd never do it. But, you know, realistically, sometimes you need something else.
And it is the way the world is now. We are on screens a lot more, aren't we?
Yeah.
I mean, I work on my phone or my computer all the time.
Yeah.
So
it's
hard to... Because that's what I get when I'm like, no, you've had enough. They're like, but you're on your phone. And I'm like, I know, but I'm working. But it doesn't, obviously... They don't understand that, but it is hard.
Yeah, no, that's it.
So, how many books have you written?
So, I have written 3 now. So, so how I got into it initially was, I'm a black belt kickboxer and a sensei.
Oh, wow. Do you still do that?
Yeah,
you
yeah.
do. Do you teach?
Yes,
you yeah, do. Well, yeah.
So in Hackney.
Okay.
Yeah. So so it's like when you become a black belt, you become a sensei, so a teacher. Yeah. So I would like assist with a class if she needs me to, and Maria, who teaches the class, has become like a good friend now, and she was also in the book that I was in.
Okay.
So basically our friend Jo, when she became a black belt, same time as me, asked if we wanted to be involved in this book called Black Belt Women: Lessons on Perseverance, which of course we did, and then I wrote a chapter, and so did my teacher Maria. And then that's how I met the publisher, Brave Healer Productions, and Laura, the CEO from that. And so then things started, you know, snowballing, and I wrote two more books. So, yeah.
But the other books aren't on kickboxing?
No. So no. The other books are... So one of them is just a children's book, which I self-published, and I want to do more of that because now I've got a baby and I like writing those. But the other book is, like, the one that I'm really proud of because basically when I was pregnant, I had, like, antenatal anxiety, and I had no idea that that was even a thing.
I didn't know that was a thing. What is that?
Yeah. So, like, one in five women experience it. Yeah, which is, like, madness. Because you just expect to be, like, glowing and, like, loving your bump and loving pregnancy. But it's really not like that for everyone. And it often happens if it's a surprise pregnancy.
Okay.
But there could be many reasons why it happens. And so I was just like felt really on edge, and it was a pandemic pregnancy as well, so I was just like my husband couldn't come to any of the appointments, I didn't see any of my family, none of them saw me pregnant. Yeah, so it was like,
of course, because I suppose they're all quite far away
up north. Yeah, so like I saw like my husband's side, luckily, randomly, both my sister-in-laws were also pregnant, so that was nice. But yeah, it was just like a weird experience. So it's kind of no wonder that it happened, because it was a weird experience.
Yeah.
Then you throw hormones into the mix. So
how did you feel?
So I just felt like I wasn't going to be a good mum.
Oh God.
Yeah, and like I just felt like, oh God, maybe I'm not meant to be a mum, even though I'd always wanted that.
Yeah.
Yeah. God, I feel like emotional talking about it.
Yeah, well, I can completely. Yeah. So when did that kick in?
Just like straight away. Yeah.
Were you like it the whole 9 months?
No, luckily, that's why I had the idea for the book.
Yeah.
Because I was able to get myself better. So basically I started cycling every day. I read like self-help books, like hundreds of self-help books. So I learned different things from those books, like writing a gratitude list, meditation, etc., things like that. So basically I wrote a gratitude list every day, 10 things that day, like that I was appreciative for in my life. And then I'd get up every morning before work, because I couldn't leave the house because I was working from home, and you know, like you were only allowed for exercise, and I'd exercise every day throughout the whole 8 months of my pregnancy. And then because we weren't really allowed to kickbox, we'd like meet in the park, so I kept that going too.
Yeah.
But I think it was the exercise, the meditation and the gratitude lists that completely like just transformed. So by like month 5, I started feeling like a little bit better.
Yeah.
And then towards the end of the pregnancy, I started like looking forward to him coming.
Yeah.
And so yeah, so because I was able to, because I really thought in the first few months like, oh my God, I'm gonna have postnatal depression. I'm definitely gonna get it, and like, you know, you just kept thinking, because I'm like, if I never even knew you could feel this way in pregnancy.
Yeah.
So if I feel this way now, how will I feel then? But because I got myself better, And because I knew the publisher, I just said, like, I've had this idea because I want to share how I got myself better. And I'd like to include other mothers who have more experience, because obviously I'm only new to my motherhood journey.
Yeah.
And they can share their tips and tools too. So there's 19 other women in the book, and they've all got, like, you know, tips on, like, you know, like, adoption, or having like a transgender child, or becoming a mother to your mum when she has Alzheimer's. So there's all different like tools and different tips, and so there's like breathing exercises in there, yoga moves, and things that you can do to help yourself. But mine's all about exercise and gratitude. So yeah.
Were you into kind of like meditation and then?
No, not really. No, not at all.
So it wasn't like something you already had?
No. So, in kickboxing, you do a lot of breathing work and things like that. Yeah. So I've done that. But yeah, no, not really.
It's good. I think if you are feeling low,
mm-hmm.
it's hard to do things for yourself to make yourself feel better. Because I think it's very easy to say, go to the gym or do this or that, but when you feel like shit you don't really do that. But that's amazing that you were able to do that.
I think it was just like, so yeah, just one day it just clicked, like, you know, well, you will probably not feel great when he comes if you carry on like not doing anything about it. And so I just started trying to look for ways to, you know, make myself feel better and things like that. And
so did you Google about how you felt? Like, how did you...
Yeah, so I basically spoke to someone through Panda's charity.
Yes, yeah, I know. Yeah.
And I kind of, like, you know, figured out that was kind of what I was going through.
How did you find them?
I think through Google.
Okay.
Yeah. And then they gave me some advice. And then also it was when I started feeling better that I actually also started seeing a therapist as well.
Okay, yeah.
But actually it wasn't like at my lowest point that I went to see her. It was like when I could start seeing a bit clearer and thinking, well, actually this is normal and it's good to talk to someone, and it's, you know, so that helped a lot as well. It's like kind of like a mixture of things that made me better, but that's why it was just like really nice to write the book, because if it can help anyone.
That's amazing. That's really amazing.
Yeah.
Because it is really important, because like you said, there's so many things that happen in pregnancy and childbirth and motherhood that you don't have a clue about. My thing was the piles. That was the worst thing when I was pregnant. I just remember when I went into, when my labour started, my piles hurt more than the contractions first, because they were just burning. But it's like, no one says you get piles when you get pregnant, like, until obviously you are, and they're like, oh yeah, everyone gets. Well, I think most people get them because of the
pressure.
But yeah, there are so many things that you just don't really know about.
So true. Yeah, like even just like going for a wee after and like hamstrings and things like that. Like, people don't really tell you that, and then they're like,
yeah.
And then a knowing friend or like my mum or whatnot will be like, make sure you take a jug of water.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
God, I've forgotten about that.
Yeah. So there's like, but there's just so much to know.
I can't believe that 1 in 5 women get it.
Mm.
I mean, I suppose, I don't know if I was worried about what kind of mum I'd be.
Yeah.
I was really sick. So that's all I thought about, was just how sick I felt for the first however long. Mm-hmm. And then I didn't really enjoy pregnancy.
Oh, right.
I didn't hate it, but I wasn't like all excited and full of the joys, you know. I just felt like shit, I looked like shit.
Yeah.
I couldn't lose weight, I just ate all the time. I liked the feeling of the babies inside me.
Yeah.
But I was just looking forward to them coming out.
Right.
No, I wasn't. Yeah. Some people really love their pregnancy, don't they?
Yeah.
But then that always fascinates me as well, is how different it is for every person.
Yeah, totally. I mean, like, also because I'd started enjoying it towards the end, then I didn't really want him to come out.
Yeah.
So, like, because I was like, oh, I'm starting to enjoy this. And then, and also you've only just got your head around being pregnant, and then it's like, oh, it's a whole different level when baby comes. But he was 3 weeks early as well.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and, like, everyone had said, oh, he'll be 2 weeks late, yeah. It's first pregnancy, and then 3 weeks early, yeah, he came the day after my baby shower.
Oh, really?
Which was, like, the rules for lockdown had just lifted that weekend. So my mum and dad came down, so they'd literally seen me pregnant, and I had him the next day.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And oh, so were they there then?
So I was allowed 5 people in the house, so I had, like, 3 mates and my mum and dad.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know you really just have women, but my dad gets invited. He's a father of girls, so he gets invited to all the girly stuff. So they'd stayed.
So they were there when you went into labour then?
Oh, sorry. They were, because we only had a small flat at the time, they were, like, literally round the corner in an Airbnb.
Okay.
And I rang them because I, basically, it was kind of a crazy labour as well. Like, I went into labour early in the morning. Well, sorry, my waters broke, but I wasn't contracting. And so we went into hospital because just to get checked out. And then they were like, no, you can go home.
Yeah.
And then just as we were leaving, I had a contraction. And then they were like, okay. And so we, like, his heart rate started dropping. So okay. It was quite like, ah.
Yeah.
And there was, like, they called a doctor in. But because of that, my body was like, need to get him out. So he was only a 2-hour labour.
Oh my god, that's amazing.
I know, it was pretty insane.
Was it? Did you have drugs or were you time?
Well, there wasn't really time. Yeah. I had a little bit of gas and air.
Yeah.
But to be honest, it was just all go.
Wow.
And like, which is amazing. I'm so glad I didn't labour for, like, you know, so many hours. But at the same time, it was like, bam, 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 bam. It was like,
yeah.
I can't even, like, it felt like it happened in 2 minutes because it was so intense.
Yeah.
But it was like, when he came out, it was like amazing. And yeah,
did you know you're having a boy?
Yeah, so like, because he was not really planned, like, we were like, oh well, we don't want any more surprises.
Yeah.
But I've always wanted a boy, so I was really happy. Yeah, like, just as my first, I've always, like, pictured having a boy. Which I know you shouldn't say, but we had. Yeah.
Oh, no,
and he works out to be a boy, so.
Yeah. So were your mum and dad there then? Did they stay down?
Yeah, so funnily enough, so it's like 7 a.m, we called them, so I was born at 7 a.m, so we called them, like, not long after, like, I don't know, like, half an hour, 40 minutes after. And we were like, have you left yet? And they were like, we're fully packed. Why? What's happened? And it was like, I've just had a baby.
They'd
literally just woke up and packed.
Oh, that's so good. But that is, considering the situation, that is so great that it did happen because they were there. And,
And weirdly as well, like, my in-laws are up from up north as well. And, like, my mum and dad and them would never be in London at the same time. And my mum and dad were meant to be leaving that day, and the in-laws were on the way down.
Oh.
And so, like, we were like, are you on your way down? Because we just had a baby. So it was very meant to be.
Lovely.
Yeah.
So did you have to stay in the hospital, or did they want you out as soon as possible?
Well, I had to stay in all day, so I left. So it was like, he was born at 7:08 and then I left about 11 at night.
Okay.
So, but to be honest, they said at that point, they were like, oh, well, you can stay if you want. But I was, like, really glad to go home. Yeah. I just wanted to be home.
Yeah.
And also, really luckily, that day, they'd lifted the rules where dads could stay.
Okay.
He was born on a Monday.
Yeah.
And if he would have been born on the Sunday, Dave would have had to go home.
So, can you imagine that?
Yeah.
I mean, it's everything that you went through and having a baby, and then you've got to do everything on your own.
Yeah, because I know some friends who had to do that, and it's, like, just so intense.
My cousin did that. Sadly, she lost a baby. I'm going to get her on the podcast, I hope, one day, but she needs to be ready to talk about it. But she lost him. I think she was 34 weeks, so it was all a big phase. Don't know what happened. It just, I think it's when, I don't want to say it wrong, but it's when basically the placenta comes away.
It was just,
but this was her third child.
Okay.
So she'd had two already.
Yeah.
But it was a complete shock and it's absolutely awful. But she has gone on to have another baby, Seamus, who was two a couple of weeks ago, actually.
Yeah.
But she had to have Seamus on her own. Because, so this was, he was born in 2020, yeah.
Yeah.
So she had to do, so I think actually he could have gone, but he was at home looking after the other kids. But after having lost a baby and then having to have her next baby on her own, like, that was a lot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because it was just the fear. I mean, thank God everything was fine. And I don't think she, I think she kind of knew that everything would be okay, but obviously there's still, you know.
Yeah, you still kind of had that in the back of your mind. Yeah.
So that's good that everyone was there. And then, I suppose, did they stay for a few days?
Yeah, so then they stayed for the week.
Oh,
but the
lovely.
Other thing is, because I was like, because of all the anxiety and, like, just made me overthink everything, and I thought, oh, well, when he's here, I just want it to be, like, just me and Dee and the baby, and I don't want anyone around, and, like, I don't really want... And, like, it made me think like that, whereas I'm such a sociable person, and, like, I love my family around, and I love my friends, so it was dead weird, like... And also, it made me, like, COVID anxious as well, whereas I feel like if I wouldn't have been pregnant during COVID, I'm quite, like, a relaxed person, so I don't think I would have been that cautious about it and things.
Do they know what causes the anxiety? Is it hormonal?
Yeah, 100%. So, like, it's just, you have, like, an imbalance of hormones. And also, like, you know, I've experienced anxiety, anxious thoughts maybe previously. So I think if you're prone to that, then maybe, like, you're more likely to have it. But it can manifest its in multiple ways. So for me, it was like, oh, I'm not going to be a good mum. Maybe I should not be a mum. But for other people, it can be like, you know, I don't know, like that they, like various reasons, like whether they can, I don't know, whether they can provide for the baby or you know, or if they'd be emotionally stable enough for the baby or whatnot. And like, it's kind of the fear of what is to come, you know, so yeah, but it does affect like tons of women. And another thing about it is, like a big one apparently is people freak out about their body because you've been through such a massive change. It's like whether or not you'll ever have your body back, which, you know, it's different. It always will be after a baby, but some people get really anxious about that as well.
So these kids. how were you after you gave birth then? Did you feel...
Absolutely fine.
You were fine. You didn't get any postnatal depression.
It was amazing, actually. Like, as soon as he arrived, like, I just, like, it sounds so cheesy, but as soon as I saw him, I was just like, I'm meant to be his mum, you know? So,
so lovely. But then that's another thing, isn't it? Because I had my friend on the podcast because his wife had postnatal depression, and it's, I just can't imagine anything worse than not feeling a connection with.
I know.
Just because I know how lovely it is having that,
yeah.
I just think that must be absolutely horrendous.
And I think that's why I felt so lucky, because I've known like loved ones to have that, like friends and family and things like that, and I know it is so debilitating, and you know, you don't want to feel like that, and it's like, it's purely, it's your brain playing tricks on you, you know, it's not really how you, well, it can be how you feel, but there's just all these hormones and whatnot.
I suppose it's lucky that you were aware that how you were feeling wasn't right, because I suppose some people might feel like that and just feel that that's how they feel, do you know what I mean? And it's,
which is how it felt like at first. I just felt like, oh, I'm the only person in the world who feels like this, and I'm completely mad, like, and then you kind of do a bit of Googling and read up on it, and then you're like, oh, actually. So it was a massive relief.
I can't believe that it's so common, because I've never...
Yeah. And I didn't, because I was working from home as well, I didn't have to necessarily announce it for ages.
Yeah.
And so, but actually a really funny thing happened. We have like this work, in my company, we had like this, kind of like, it's kind of like MSN for, you know, like back in the day when you're doing the messenger or like Skype or something, I guess. But yeah, anyways. And so we have like groups on there and you ping each other messages and whatnot. And my friend knew I was pregnant and had known since like, you know, early on. And she was pregnant at the same time too. So she told me she had these vivid, crazy dreams and I started having them. And then I said, oh, it must be like a symptom. So I like Googled on the NHS and yeah, sure enough, vivid dreams is a pregnancy symptom. And I went to send it to her and then all of a sudden on my phone it said posted. And I thought, where's that gone? Like, where did that post to? Anyway, it posted on the company chat. But luckily it wasn't like one with like, I don't know, with anything important. It was a pub drinks chat. Okay. So anyone on there was pretty, you know, sad and whatnot. And then someone messaged me to say, did you mean to post that? I was like, oh God, I haven't even told anyone yet at work. So,
Did you mean to tell everyone?
Maybe, but it made it easier to announce, so it was fine.
Did you find out quite early on in the pregnancy that you were pregnant or...
So I was like 9-10 weeks and funnily enough I was doing my kickboxing black belt, so so I just didn't tell my friend who's my teacher. I just didn't tell her I was pregnant, so I did it anyway.
Yeah,
but I was like so dizzy. I was like feeling awful and I was thinking, I'm going for my black belt, she'll think, why is she so weak? Like, and so, but I was like determined to do it still because I'd trained so hard, and then it was like last minute I found out, and anyway, I told her after, like, and she was like, I knew. So, yeah, women's intuition, I guess.
So, when did you start kickboxing?
About, 6 years, 7 years ago, maybe.
Oh, wow, so not that long then.
Yeah.
God, you've done really well.
Yeah.
I would have thought that takes years for people.
It can take like 10 years, but I got a belt consistently every year.
Wow.
So, yeah, so like people normally, you know, they take breaks in between or whatnot.
Yeah.
But it was really lovely actually because, I did go to another school originally, but then when I found this brilliant one, I made really good friends, and then four of us did our belts every year together.
Okay.
So we kind of kept each other going, and you know, it felt like you couldn't not do it because we were all doing it together. So I think that's why it happened quite quickly. So
had you done anything like that previous?
Like I tried little bits and bobs. Like I talk about it in the Black Belt Women, but like I knew that I would love martial arts, but I could never find the one I wanted. And my dad has done karate for years as well. So like, you know, he used to take us to like displays and things like that. I was always really interested by it, but I couldn't find one that I loved. And then when I tried kickboxing, I was like, oh, this is so fun, because it's like traditional martial arts, but it's like more modern as well, because it's fun. So yeah, I really like it.
How often do you do it?
Less lately, but I try and go like 2-3 times a week. But I've been a bit lax lately, just once a week, but I'm going to get back into it.
Once a week's still good.
Yeah. I'm just keeping my toe in the water.
Yeah. So it's in Hackney?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's not far.
No, not far. So not far in the car.
So what was that book about then? Who wrote it?
Mm-hmm. So it was multiple authors.
Yeah.
So like
whose
we all
idea
wrote
was
a
it?
Chapter each. It was the publisher.
Okay.
So she is a black belt. Like third dan in taekwondo.
Oh, wow.
And so she was like, oh, this was an amazing experience for me, so I want to get other black belt women from different martial arts involved.
Yeah.
And a friend knew her, and you know, and the rest is history, as they say.
I'm gonna read that
because
it is just about women
that, yeah, like using martial arts to like kind of get them through tricky parts in their life, yeah. because it's really therapeutic doing any martial art, really, well, any sport, I suppose, like, yeah. you know, yeah, like I was talking to your friend Nick about dance, and she does yes. that as like therapeutic and yeah. like makes her feel good, and I do kickboxing, and I think, yeah, it's just nice to do something to get your body moving, yeah. really, isn't
definitely.
It?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. It definitely helps. I go to a local gym mm-hmm. and I started exercising when I separated from my girl's dad. Mm-hmm. I started doing the body coach.
Oh yeah.
And I did it for 2 years actually, and it was great. It got me moving.
Yeah.
I lost weight. Mm-hmm. I got weights, which was good for lockdown when everything went tits up.
Oh yeah.
So I was like,
definitely.
Oh, I have loads of weights. but then I kind of got to the point where I felt like I wasn't going to go any further with it, so mm-hmm. I joined a local gym.
Yeah.
And I absolutely love it.
Yeah.
But for the mental health aspect.
Yes.
And I think it's important for the kids to know that you need to take responsibility for your physical health.
Yeah.
You know, as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Because I never really had that. If you didn't play sports.
Yeah.
That was it, wasn't it, really? Like,
yeah.
When I was younger and I wasn't really about the sports.
I think that's it. But it's like, there's so many different ways you can get moving, isn't it? And
yeah.
you always find something that interests you, like, so for you it's the gym, like for me I tried loads of different things and like never was into them, and
yeah.
then you just find something that clicks, and yeah, and like also funnily enough, like with lockdown, you know, at first the kickboxing was like all online and it was a bit different, and so I was like, no, I have to be out doing something, like
yeah.
I have to get out the house. So that's when I started the cycling, and like and it was just, you know, it wasn't like I wasn't all Lycra and like, you know, really fast bikes or anything. It was just like bog standard bike and just getting out into like into, you know, the Walthamstow wetlands,
yeah.
and just cycling around there and just getting out the house is just, yeah, it's good for you.
Do
I
you
think.
Go on the road, or do you just kind of do
so
off
yeah
the
just
road?
Yeah, just like wherever. As, I mean, because it's like as countryside as you can get,
yeah.
I suppose. Like, just like I think we're really lucky in London to have so many parks. Like, also,
yeah, yeah.
like, you know, Roddin Valley Park, Wanstead
yeah,
Park,
yeah.
Walthamstow, even like along the canal, like
yeah.
In Hackney. There's loads of like nice routes you can do, and I think it's nice to be like, you know, if you can be by like the reservoir or be by
yeah.
the canal or whatnot. But yeah, I just think it's the getting out of the house for me.
Yes, yeah.
Makes a big difference.
Yeah,
yeah.
definitely.
Mm, yeah.
I never knew about the, near where we live, because you live just around the corner from me, we discovered, didn't we? But down the bottom of our road, there's a nature reserve with a river in it. And I lived in South Woodford for 11 years, and I never knew about that until lockdown.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I lived over the other side of the train station before.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, it was just with lockdown. I was seeing all these pictures of people posting that their kids were in the river, and I'm like, where the fuck is that? And I obviously knew there was.
I don't think
space.
I know where that. Where about?
The River Road in.
Oh yeah, sorry,
engine.
Yeah, got you.
But and so I walked down there, and I was like, I can't believe this has been on my doorstep for
yeah.
the whole time.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
was one of the good things to come out of COVID, I think, was exploring
nearby
spaces.
Yeah.
Because I think in London it is. You do just get into that mindset of tube into town,
oh, yeah, yeah,
come
definitely.
Out, you know,
yeah.
don't really
yeah.
see what else is about. But
that's like, I didn't even realise, like, Walthamstow, like, marshes and everything, like, there were so many different, like, routes I could go along there,
yeah.
cycling, like, even in Hackney there's loads of parks and things to go to, and, yeah, so I think that was nice to just, like, appreciate
yeah.
that, yeah.
So how hard was it for you to get your book idea off the ground? Was it not too bad because you'd already had a relationship with the publisher?
Yeah, so because I'd already had the relationship, like, I just went directly to her. And also, after writing the Black Belt Women book, I was like, well, I really love writing, so
yeah.
I want to, you know, improve. So I did, like, a course with her, a writing course.
Okay.
And through that course, I met loads of, like, interesting women who, you know, are authors of other books or may have never authored before. written before. And I said, like, at the end, like, you know, would anyone be interested in this book that I've got an idea for? And a few of the women from that course were interested. So yeah, or knew someone who was interested.
Okay.
And so then it started, like, filling out and people started getting interested. And then found a few people through. Because I started, like, a coaching training as well.
Yeah.
So that I could help any expectant mums and things like that. Because I feel like... when I go back to my day job, I manage like multiple people, and I feel like if any of them are, you know, expecting a baby or whatever, I'd be able to really support them in a way that I didn't feel supported.
Yeah.
And because they think it's a way, you know, it's such a massive change and you need to learn to prioritize your workload and things like that, and have that work-life balance. And so I've done loads of coaching training, and I know that I'd be able to help other people with that now. So, yeah.
How have you found it, the work-life balance?
With
and writing loads of books and becoming a coach.
Yeah. Well, I think, like, everyone was like, hang on, wait, you're on mat leave. How have you written a book? But I think I should really... When I should just be chilling out and watching Netflix in the evening or maybe going to bed early, I just really enjoy writing. I genuinely enjoy writing, which makes me sound like such a geek, but I do. It's like a way to kind of chill out and I can just get lost in it. So when he was in bed, I would just pick up the laptop and get going. And so that's how it happened, really, late nights. And then I'm like, oh, I've not even been to sleep, and he's woke up for a feed. So that was, the first 6 months of mat leave. And then when the book was kind of in a better position and, we were just doing edits and stuff, I was like, right, I really need to start going to bed early. Yeah.
How long did you have off work?
A year. So Originally I thought I'd just take, as I said, probably because I wasn't 100%, I said, I'll just take 6 months, but I'll probably be back earlier, thinking that I wouldn't enjoy mat leave. And then I've absolutely loved it from the moment he's been here, and I would extend it even more if I could. But I've absolutely loved it and really made the most of it. And,
yeah.
Yeah, so I've done a 12 months. So,
Do you work from home?
Yeah, I work from home.
Do you? Is that going to be standard now because of COVID? Were you in the office before?
I'll be in the city 2 days a week probably.
Okay.
And then 3 days I'll be at home.
Yeah.
But maybe potentially I'll be doing 4 days, and then the Friday I might do a bit of the coaching and the writing.
I think it's quite nice to have, I think that's another good thing to come out of COVID, is the fact that they know that people can work from home. So they're a bit more sympathetic, I think, to people with families, because I've never really, I've worked from home since before I had kids, but I was I don't know how people do. If you're a 9-to-5, then obviously you've got to have
a lot
before
juggling.
School, after school, you know, all that, and it costs a fucking fortune as well.
Yeah.
So I think that's good that, you know, they're a bit more relaxed now. And
yeah, definitely, because, you know, I remember, and I never felt judgmental against anyone, but I remember hearing comments, you know, off people about people who were, she's going to pick up the kids again early, things like that. And now I'm so hyper aware of, at the time I just thought, God, you're a dick.
Yeah.
because I didn't have kids, but I never would say that about someone else. Whereas now I have a child, I'm like, oh my God, that person, they obviously were going to pick up the child, you know. And so, there's just so much juggling and people not understanding it. Whereas I feel like, especially when, you know, when the school's closed and everything and things like that, people are hyper aware that, it's not easy.
So. Definitely not. Yeah. And I don't. And I suppose until you have kids, you don't really understand. Mm-hmm. But it is. I just don't like if your kids are sick. Like when I get a phone call,
yeah,
it's fine because I can just go and pop and get them. But if you're in town mm-hmm. in an office and yep. you've got to get home, you know, there's just so many things that you need to consider.
Definitely.
But that's yeah. why. I mean, do you work only with women, obviously, for with yeah, because yeah. I just think it is that men don't have to deal with that.
Yeah.
Do you
yeah.
know, it's like that's a primary, that's a woman's.
Yeah.
But we're always the ones that get called when the kids are sick, mm-hmm. you know, whatever we're doing, even yeah. if we're at work or at home, you know.
Yeah.
That's our job.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, I think, to be honest, though, my husband would quite happily leave work and go and get him. So, but, you know, I think it's, yeah, it's interesting because I wonder who they would call first because yeah. it probably would be the mum. And then I wonder, like, you know, in, like, same-sex couples then, who do they call? And, like, you know, is yeah. it, like, is it different? Like, yeah. you know, because it is interesting that because, yeah, like, hopefully in this day and age, like, you know, guys kind of step up more and would pick up or whatnot, but
I think that's very yeah. dependent on the man. I think there are a lot of men who
100%
yeah. are happily very mm-hmm. hands-on with their yeah. kids because they yeah. love it, but then
people are old-fashioned, they'll yeah. stand back and yeah no, luckily his dad is like really hands-on and like happily would get involved with anything or do anything.
So did his sisters have their babies around the same time?
Yeah, so one of them was 3 weeks before me and one of them was 5 weeks after, and then my own sister, but she's in Liverpool, she had one 6 weeks after as well.
That's
so
really lovely.
Cousins all yeah. together. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
really nice.
Yeah, really nice. So yeah, so he's already got loads of cousins, and then he already had an older cousin because my sister has a 14-year-old as well. So
oh, wow.
There's quite a gap between yeah. those two, but he's amazing with both babies. Oh. He's really good with them, which is interesting for a 14-year-old boy because you'd think, oh, maybe they won't be too interested in babies, but he's great. Yeah, he's really good with them. So, yeah, it's lovely. Yeah, it's really nice, like... he'll be growing up with all yeah. of those guys, so, yeah.
Are they close by, his cousins?
Yeah, so, Hymes Park. So,
oh, okay, oh,
yeah.
lovely.
Yeah, nice and handy.
So when did the book come out?
So the book came out about a month ago.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow, so it is really new. Have you got a publicist?
Yeah, no, I haven't. So we've just been doing, like, the publicity ourselves, really, yeah. through the publisher gets quite involved with all of yeah. that. Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I feel like you should be on this morning talking about it. Because it is really important and people should know, because I'm yeah. sure that you would then reach a lot of women
yeah.
who are probably going through it at this very moment.
Yeah, well...
Do you know what I mean?
Well, that's why I wrote it, you know, because, like, when I was kind of, you know, researching and, like, and then I spoke to Pandas and they were like, no, you're not insane, this is, like, what you're going through... I started looking for it because I'm such a bookworm. Started looking for a book to read about it. And apart from, like, honestly, like, when you, like, look for it, you could only find, like, kind of, like, old textbooky-looking books that
yeah, yeah.
just have no feeling in them and, you know, that you'd never read. Or it's all about postnatal. None
yes.
of it's about antenatal
yeah.
anxiety. And so, yeah, so basically... I was like, right, well, maybe I need to write it myself. So that's what I did, yeah.
I think you need to be on telly. I'm trying to think if I know that I could get you on telly. Because it was really important.
Yeah, it is.
So how many other people contributed to it?
19 other people.
Wow.
Yeah. So they're all, like, you know, really interesting people. So,
yeah.
like, yeah, like, some of them own yoga studios, some of them
yeah.
are, like, therapists, some are, like, there's, like, reflexologists, yeah, loads of different interesting people, so, yeah, coaches and things like
yeah.
that. Yeah.
What's it called?
It's called Strong Mothers, More Than a Survival Guide, yeah, but Strong Mothers for short.
Yeah.
yeah.
Did you have a launch for it?
So we, because we're in the UK and the publisher is in America.
Oh, okay.
It's taken a while to get like a load of books and stuff, but we're planning a launch event. So
Are the other contributors in America or are they here?
So there is some in the UK. So one of them is in Loughton, one of them's in Wanstead.
Okay, yeah.
One's in Wales, and then the rest are all international.
Yeah.
So it's been like a nice mixture. But I suppose also that's the good thing about lockdown as well, is that it's kind of breached those gaps in between, you know, speaking to someone in the States or speaking to someone, I don't know, like, yeah, one of the authors is in Hawaii, so the time difference is, like, crazy. But she was still able to be in the book and we were still able to speak, and yeah, it's been really lovely. Yeah,
well, that's the great thing with the podcast, as much as I much prefer in person, and it's brilliant that you actually live just around the corner. Yeah. I've spoken to people in America because that's a normal thing now. You just do a podcast and you do it on Zoom, which isn't great because internet dropping out, and you know, I had one because the clocks went back and I didn't realise, so when I set it, I didn't realise that it would actually be an hour later because the clocks had gone back. So I was sitting there waiting and I was thinking, why isn't she there? And I was messaging, she was in Vegas, and then I realised that.
Oh no.
Yeah, that is another good thing to come out of lockdown is Zoom.
Even though
it was around before, you just never thought to use it, did you?
I know. Well, we used it for work because I work for a tech company. Like, we've got offices in Australia and all sorts, so we used it for that. But I would never ever be like, oh, I'm gonna call my family in Liverpool via Zoom. That would not be a thing. So, like, whereas now you kind of, I mean, I would FaceTime, but you know, you don't really. Now I'm kind of more open to a video call, whereas I would always be like, no, just call me. I don't want you to see my face. So yeah.
Do you see them a lot?
Family.
Yeah.
So we just went up for like a week, And we always did try and go every so often, but now also with a baby, everyone wants to see him. So yeah, we're seeing them as much as we can, especially after not being able to see them for a year.
And
so
how
many
sisters have you got?
Two.
Are they up there?
Yeah. So I've got an older sister and a younger sister. So yeah.
So are you going to write more books?
Yeah, I think so. So I think I'm definitely going to write. So I've got some like children's books in the works, like one teaching children about positive messaging and positive affirmations and things like that. And then the book that I wrote previously, which the children's book, it was about my nan's life. So it's like she was an evacuee, and it was like about that.
Oh wow!
Yeah, and
where did
then
she go?
So she went to the Isle of Man, and it was like kind of, you know, so to give children like a bit of like history lesson, but also about her life, and it was really good actually. Like, and I'm so glad I managed to do it because she passed recently.
Sorry.
So, that's okay, and she had a really good life. And I'm just really glad she got to see it.
Yeah.
So
was she in Liverpool?
Yes, she was in Liverpool, but so I gave it to her as a Christmas present, and she was like overjoyed, and then it did quite well as well on Amazon, and people were actually buying it, so it was nice.
My kids did that in school recently, because Lola had to go in dressed as a evacuee. She had to make like a little card to say where she was going from and stuff, so
because like you've just gotta pass that on, because you know that's scary. Well, hopefully it would never happen again, but it's
but you say that, but we didn't think
you could
ever see. You never know. I don't think, because we were talking about it actually, because I think it is really important for them to know what happened,
and to know that it happened in this country, I think, is a big deal, because some like the kids like, you know, loosely know about Ukraine from what they've heard in schools and what you tell them, but to say like, oh, that actually happened to a grandparent of yours as well, it's quite a big deal, isn't it, you know? So on the kind of similar wavelength to that, I'll be writing a book about my grandma in law. So she's like a force of nature, my husband's grandma, and yeah, I'll be writing about her, a little book. And then the other one, as I said, is like positive messages for children. So that's kind of its own little genre. So yeah.
Lovely.
But yeah, they're just because I really enjoy doing it. But I think I think as well, you know, there could be a second Strong Mothers book because from writing it, lots of women have already got in touch, like, if you're doing a second one, let me know, because I've got an interesting story. And I just think there's so, like, every motherhood journey is different, obviously, and and even if you don't think your story is interesting, somewhat, like, I would probably find it, you know what I mean?
It's just totally. There's
always some advice to share, so...
No, yeah. Definitely. I love listening to people and hearing their experiences because I'm really nosy. But I genuinely am really interested in people. And I do think that that's how you educate yourself, is by experience, isn't it? And it's good to share and it's good to talk about it as well.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
So I think it's really important.
Yeah, and because, like, you know, with reading and editing the book and meeting all those authors, like, I learnt so much from that, from reading their stories and, like, their tips and tools. So I was like, this book is as much for me as a new mum as it is for anyone. But it was just like a really good book because all those women are different ages, different backgrounds, etc. And so, like, anyone could find their story, like, relevant or interesting or useful. So I think that was the nice thing about it. So I've got a story in there to help women in pregnancy, but it also helps people at many different stages as well. Yeah.
Oh, well, thank you very much for coming to talk to me about it all.
Thank you.
Good luck with everything.
Thanks.
And I'll post links to everything.
Great. Yeah, no, that'd be awesome. Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yes, so you can get Christina's book, Strong Mothers, and contact her. If there's a story that you'd like to share, then contact her, because if she writes another book, she's going to need people's stories. And also contact me, because I want to hear your stories. But yeah, she was lovely, and she literally lives around the corner from me, so we'll do coffee soon. But I hope you enjoyed it. And if you have been affected by mental health issues during being pregnant or postnatally, then I'm sorry for you, that's really shitty, but I hope that you've kind of found the help that you needed to get. But if you do want to talk about anything that's been discussed, then please get in touch. Not that I'm a medical expert or anything, but I have got some recommendations for places to go. Pandas is really good. They're a charity, you can find them on Instagram. I'll post links below anyway, in the blurb of the podcast. But I'm going to go. I've just had a coffee. Can you tell? I hope you're good. Stay safe. Stay sane. Check out my other episodes if you haven't already. I have loads. But all different things. I get to talk to loads of lovely people. So that's great. Thank you for listening. Please subscribe to the podcast. Please share the podcast with anyone you think might like it. Big love to you. And I'll see you next week. Bye.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.